You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are back. We are doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And I weirdly almost feel like we don't have a lot to talk about. Isn't that weird? Like, doesn't it seem weird? Like, it's like things are just kind of like consistently been good. Like, we have to find controversy to talk about. So I have a plan. I've got some numbers I want to go over that I looked up. I was going to delve in deeper and compare them to like Michigan State and Ohio State, but I don't want to do that because I just feel like that feeds into, especially Michigan State. I feel like, you know, if you saw the YouTube comment, mentioned on the mailbag last week, I don't want them to think that I'm living in Renton for free. You know, it's Renton is an expensive place to live. I don't want them to think I'm living there for free. So, anyway, we're going to go over some numbers. We're going to talk about it, and then got to talk a little bit about a certain former head coach in the conference and a little bit of heat. Got some things going on, and it makes you wonder a little bit about that coach. Anyway, we'll talk about that at the end, because that's going to be the fun part. That'll just be just a few minutes, as if the rest isn't supposed to be fun. But you know, we're doing by the numbers, so it's going to be all business. Let's get into the business side. Now, my microphone kind of blocks my computer now that we have the camera situation, so let me see here. So some of the numbers that I wanted to bring out just like the total rankings, you know, when you're looking at total offense and you're looking at total defense. If you don't know exactly what those numbers are, just offhand, that's yards for and yards against. It's not scoring. Actually, Michigan's better in scoring defense, and I think scoring offense as well. Which I didn't pull those up because I actually will here, because it wasn't just that I was pulling up those numbers. I was pulling up the numbers of the teams that they had faced, because I think that that's really important. So, Let me bring those up first, because I feel like that's important. So in terms of scoring defense, because Michigan's defense, as far as total defense, is ranked number 14 in the country. We're going to talk about the defense in a minute, because we're going to start on the offense. But number 6 in the country in scoring defense. So that's important to note, right? Like, it's, all right, yeah, they give up some yards, but they don't let you in the end zone. Only allowing 12.8 points per game. I mean, and when you think about the fact that Washington got a late touchdown, right? Yeah, Washington got a late touchdown. Western Michigan got a late touchdown. NIU got a late touchdown. Wisconsin got a late touchdown. All of those came in garbage time. You could take 7 more points off that. Really? You know, like, because some of these other teams, I'm sure, aren't necessarily in situations where they're all in these blowouts, you know, scenarios. There's only been one game that wasn't a blowout scenario, and that was Rutgers. And it certainly was on its way there before Michigan kind of turtled offensively. So that's important to note, right? They're only allowing 12.8 points a game. When you consider there's, you know, like everyone talks about how great Iowa's defense is, and it is, 11.6. Michigan's only allowing 1.2 more points per game. And I'm sure looking at some of the scores, watching some of these Iowa games, they haven't all been these blowouts like this last week against Maryland. So that's important to note. Offensively, Michigan's the 40th ranked offense. However, especially you have to consider when it comes to scoring offense, scoring defense, some of those things can get muddled because they when they're doing these rankings, they're not looking saying, well, was that an interception return for a touchdown or something like that? Michigan, as far as scoring offense, because that would count towards the scoring offense. Michigan hasn't had any touchdowns from the defensive side of the ball. Yet it has the number 12 scoring offense. So right there, like 40th in yards, but you also figure that Michigan, a lot of these games that they've had, again, they've had their backups in a lot of the fourth quarter. Sometimes NIU, the entire second half. So Michigan's averaging 39.8 points per game. When you consider that Ohio State, the top offense in the country as far as total yards, total offense, 45 points a game. Michigan's just a touchdown, less than a touchdown. You know, it's less than two field goals worse than Ohio State's scoring offense. Ohio State has not had as many situations. They've had the last couple games, but otherwise have not had as many situations where they've been able to get those backups in. They've needed those guys out there, just by comparison. So, all right, so let's get to what I actually wrote here, because of course I digress, because that's what I do. So Michigan, like I said, has the number 40 total offense. The defensive ranks of teams it's faced, and this is really important, right? Western Michigan, 24th. Keeping in mind, you go into the season against Western Michigan, who knows what, you know, what kind of defense they have. But Western Michigan, through 5 weeks, actually, after even playing Michigan, 24th in the country in its defense. So Western's got a good defense. Washington, 46, so not as good as you'd hoped. Again, Michigan did what it did against Washington, mostly on the ground. Northern Illinois, not so great, 98th. Rutgers took a hit because it just played Ohio State, but 36th. Rutgers is, like, people like to say things about Rutgers. Rutgers tends to have a good defense, but when it plays Michigan and Ohio State, usually they get just, you know, run off the field. Such was the case against Ohio State, not, you know, that case. And obviously, Wisconsin came into the last week being the number two defense in the country. Now they're down to number three. And you keep in mind that Wisconsin's played Penn State, which has the number 52 offense. Notre Dame's offense isn't that great. It's the 95th. But that is one where the scoring offense, like if I looked at Notre Dame's scoring offense, kind of doesn't count, right? Because they got two defensive touchdowns and I think a special teams one. So nonetheless, that's what makes this that much more impressive about what Michigan's doing. And if you tune into X's and O's on YouTube, it'll probably be up. It'll definitely be up by the time you watch this video because it's literally encoding right now. My breakdown show with Jake Butt that we put up on YouTube. He'll tell you that he's more impressed with the offensive side of the ball, while most people out there right now would say they're more impressed with the defensive side of the ball. But when you consider the fact that Michigan just went up against the number two defense in the country, made them drop because they managed to. You know, obviously they got more than 210 yards allowed, you know, which is what Wisconsin had been giving up going into the game. So that's going to change things, right? And, you know, I Wisconsin historically has been about that, right? So it's not like, well, you know, that number's going to go down because Wisconsin's just, you know, they haven't played. Wisconsin's played three ranked opponents so far, Penn State, Notre Dame and Michigan, and they've lost, unfortunately for them, they've lost all three of their big tests. It's like, that's what, you know, Michigan fans used to say, like, or actually a lot of rival fans like to say about Michigan, like, oh, they haven't been tested by anybody. All right, well, they just went and got, had that situation there where they played three ranked teams, they lost to three ranked teams. So, it happens. Anyhow, I don't remember what I was going to look up there, but, to that point, I mean, Wisconsin, they're now allowing 249 yards a game. Michigan got 40-something yards on Wisconsin. That very well could be the toughest defense that Michigan's going to see all year long. So that is very, very good news for Michigan. So, anyhow, Michigan basketball just got a commitment, folks. So you'll probably know that by now. Greg Glenn. So, there you go. We're going to continue the podcast, at least into the break. All right, so that's one thing. Then you look at the defensive side of the ball. It's been impressive, don't get me wrong, because we saw, you know, Michigan State and, I mean, even Rutgers, even though Michigan lost, I mean, they had their way with Michigan defense. Michigan was giving up 400 something yards per game, uncharacteristically, like 450. Now they're back to what you're normally used to seeing around the 200 to 300 range. That's what you want to see out of Michigan. So the offenses that the defense has faced haven't been quite as good. You're looking at Western Michigan at that's the 61st ranked offense. Washington's obviously bad, 82. Northern Illinois, 79. Rutgers is 102. Wisconsin's 99. We're really going to know. Just like we just learned about what Michigan's offense was able to do against a tough defense, we're really going to learn what the defense can do against a tough offense, because Nebraska's offense is ranked number 11 in the country. And remember, one of the big knocks on Don Brown was, yeah, he can shut down the types of offenses that Michigan just, like, they just faced, right? Those last five teams. But against teams that have higher-powered offenses, which, I mean, this tends to be true. Against higher-powered offenses, things probably aren't going to go quite as well. Because, I mean, a higher-powered offense is built to take advantage of a good defense. Nebraska's number 11, but let's keep in mind that when they faced Oklahoma and Michigan State and Illinois, Oklahoma and Illinois in particular allowed less than 400 yards. Michigan State allowed just a little bit more to the Huskers, so through transitive property, we'll at least have some kind of idea of what this Michigan defense is capable of. So I can tell you that Michigan's defensive minds thought that they were going to be able to do what they did against Wisconsin and that offensive line. Because remember, it wasn't like Wisconsin having a prolific passing game. The rushing game hasn't been quite as good. But I still believe that they got, if I'm not mistaken, they still got yards in week one, at least, against Penn State. I think I'm right on that. Yeah, I mean, they got 180 yards against Penn State. Only 78, though, against Notre Dame. And then Michigan held them to 43, which is the lowest output that they've had since, I think it was 2015, when they had negative 29 against Northwestern. Negative 26. So, pretty good. What that all means in the grand scheme, let's get to that here momentarily. But before we do, all right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks offers every sport you can think of, like the NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, Major League Baseball, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all-star players of both the Power 5 as well as the mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Anyone who makes that deposit, use the promo code LOCKEDON, will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries. That means you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawal. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to the App Store. Download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All right. Also, got to talk to you about rockauto.com. It's a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Now, I've used their service quite a bit on my own when I had my POS Cadillac that broke down literally every month, and it saved me thousands of dollars. The good thing is they have everything. Everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or it's for your daily driver, you can get everything you need just in a few easy clicks. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brands, the specifications, and the prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are reliably low and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Continuing on. So, took a little break because I had to write up a commitment story. It's always fun. Anyhow, all right, so let's try to remember everything I was just talking about. It was instantaneous for you. It was 20 minutes for me. But anyway, not the ideal thing for me as far as that's concerned. But what this means, ultimately, is that, and I know I kind of said this at the end, but it means that we're going to learn so much more about what Michigan's defense is made of when it goes on the road to Lincoln. In a way, and I wasn't thinking about it this way at all. I remember talking to some colleagues, and they thought Michigan was for sure going to lose at Nebraska preseason. Granted, they probably also thought Washington and Wisconsin were absolute losses as well. Things don't necessarily always go that way. What it means is we're going to really learn about adversity, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, because they are going to get tested. Now, Nebraska has not been, despite the numbers, has not exactly been prolific, right? It's not it's not because they played an extra game. It's a per game average. So they are still 11th. But here's the good news for Michigan. Nebraska is really bad at protecting the quarterback. Their offensive lines, pass blocking is, it's not the worst in the country, but it is close. It is the worst in the Big Ten. And I think in sacks allowed, and I have to relook this up here, it's bad. It is not good. So you feel like Aiden and David Ajabo and, Josh Ross, if they continue to bring Daxton Hill out there, I mean, it can feast. Absolutely should be able to feast. Because, let's see, sacks allowed, Michigan's at the top, right? Number two in the country, they've allowed one sack. Again, that one sack that was allowed wasn't even a sack. It was J.J. McCarthy throwing the pass or the lateral that wasn't caught, and it was like a fumble or whatever that was in week one. That's the only sack Michigan has on the year. Nebraska's 121 in the country in sacks allowed. They've allowed 18 thus far. That's three per game. They've played six games. So when you consider that's like, you would think it kind of felt like Wisconsin was probably a team that's like, oh, they've got to allow a lot of sacks, right? Because like that, their line isn't that great. It isn't that bad, right? Like it's Wisconsin offensive line. Now they've allowed 10 sacks on the year. How many did Michigan get? Do you remember? Yeah. Six. If you're watching the video, I can't count. They got six sacks in the game. So that goes to show, like, if say that still held, like Wisconsin, like say Michigan got no sacks in the game, Wisconsin would be ninth in the country. That's the difference between those numbers. Let's say Michigan just got two, Wisconsin would be 18th. No, instead they're all the way down in the midpoint because Michigan made them fall from like ninth all the way down that far. That's how impressive the defense was. But they've got to do it now against a very porous defensive line. And I apologize if you hear Zuri shaking and making all kinds of noise like something's happening. I don't know why. But anyhow, this is going to be the bigger test for the defense. Offensively, you've got to feel like this offense can do what it wants to against good defenses now, because they went out and finally did it against a stout defense. I can't remember the last time you saw that, right? When you think about, the offense really laid it on against a defense that's really, really good, because what would it be like 2016? And I'm kind of looking through to see if some of those opponents, none of them were nearly that high, right? I mean, not even Wisconsin had 11 sacks allowed, so that's probably why. But 2016 would be the last time I would think that maybe that you could see, like, okay, they moved the ball a lot on that team. Wisconsin was 7, Ohio State was 6, but, I mean, Michigan didn't really have, like, a great score in those games, nor did they against Florida State, the number 22, nor did they against Iowa, the number 23 defense. I'm looking for, like, Michigan State's 32. Again, that was that wasn't a crazy score. Penn State, that's the one. That's the one I'm looking for. They were 37. So think about that in context, in the sense of when Michigan played in 2016 and that offense just seemed like it just shut everybody up. Those defenses they were facing, they weren't scoring 38 points against those teams. But, it, you know, you had to get real, you know, start getting into, you know, Penn State at 37 or Indiana, they was 45. They only got 20 points against them. I can't seem to find a lot of them where they just were really blowing teams out that had top end defenses. Maryland was 77th. So that's like the next one, unless I missed UCF or Colorado up there. UCF was 39. So there you go. There were a couple that were in that area. So what this tells you, considering Michigan's, like I said, they played the number three defense in the country. They played the number 24 defense in the country. They played the 36th defense in the country. And yet then people felt, well, maybe that's it's the same deal because they only scored 20 points. But that was the second half. Michigan got ultra conservative, and a lot of that was on Michigan, as much as it was Rutgers. Rutgers did some smart things, but, you know, it's a lot of it's on Michigan of just not having good execution on top of not good coaching. So now you can at least have some confidence. Because here's the thing. It doesn't feel like this when you read about from the national media. Michigan's only really still had like two bad quarters, the last half against Rutgers, and a handful of drives, most of them in garbage time. A lot of the time it was the first drive of the game. You know, Western Michigan drives the field, you know, to score. And this drive started out fine, but after the penalty, Michigan kind of looked like it did the year before, but then they buckled down, didn't let them score again until the end of the game. Washington is, again, like the last couple drives of the game, they really started to turn things on, but still really couldn't score. Northern Illinois, they're in garbage time. That's when they start to actually be able to do something. So you feel like when you really think about it, Michigan's been close to perfect. It's dominated just about every quarter of football it has played thus far, save for maybe a couple of the last drives of the game and maybe the first drive of the game in some of these cases. I can't say that about Alabama even right now. Certainly can't say about Ohio State. Ohio State's looked great the last 2 weeks. It's looked like what you expect Ohio State to look like. But it didn't look like that in any quarter before that. So at least Michigan is playing dominant football. But it doesn't feel like it when you listen to the national media, because it's still like, well, the offense has questions and the offense answers questions. And it's like, well, how good is Wisconsin really? Let's see them do it. You know, let's see them do it for the next 7 weeks and then maybe the next year or two. And then after that, then maybe we can look back and say that maybe it worked, you know. It's just what it is. But nonetheless, I think we learned something. And certainly, like I said, coming out of week three, you know, if something, you know, the first time that a team does something, you're like, okay, good. Second time, all right, now we're starting to have a trend. Third time, that's just what the team is. Running the ball, it's still what the team is, but you knew against Wisconsin, a team that only gave up 2-3 yards to Notre Dame, 23 yards per game, that they weren't going to run for 300 yards, but they still ran for 112. And they still got big 7-8 yard runs, like right in like one fell swoop, Hassan Haskins got more yards than Notre Dame, right? I know those are sack adjusted yards, but still, my point stands. So just a matter of continuing to have the same trends. All right. That went on a lot longer than I anticipated. We're going to touch on a little bit of Urban Meyer and some of the trouble he's in. Just going to have to touch on it because we're already getting up there in time. Don't want to make this too long. We're supposed to keep these to 28 minutes, but I never do. Anyhow, guess what? Football has been back. It's been back for a while. It's better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start yet another football season. I mean, start. I don't. We need to change that there. But anyway, As always, BetOnline.ag is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to BetOnline.ag to sign up today. Receive that 50% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports, your favorite sports, that is. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hey guys, so you know there's a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you are sweating through your shirts for no reason, it's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know I have personally dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now listen, I know this isn't life and death, but there are much worse problems in the world. But let's be honest, in the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it. That's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed. Next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week. It keeps me dry the whole time. No more pitting out. No more picking my shirts based on which one will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock and get it for today. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com and with promo code locked on, or you can get it at Amazon or CVS. All right, let's finish it out with a little bit of fun here just for the sake of, who doesn't find this fun? With the 0-4 Jacksonville Jaguars, like it seems like they're getting close. They're getting closer. And still 0-4. Losing to Denver Broncos and the Cincinnati Bengals and Urban. I'm sure you've all heard the story. I don't need to really break it down. But just, you know, if you didn't know, Urban went to a bar in Columbus after didn't fly home with the team. Went back to Columbus and he ended up at a bar after like a family party. And he's like got some girl dancing on him and there's an alternate angle and he's got his hands where they shouldn't be if you're a married man. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars issued a statement of how disappointed they are in him. He's got to do better. And there's like a report that players were like that he addressed he wouldn't address like the team as a whole. Instead, he like went position group by position group and the people were just like he gave like explanations and kind of like, you know, didn't quite fully take accountability in a way. And apparently the players are like laughing at him. They don't take him seriously. It's just like, yeah, OK, he owned Michigan. He didn't just own Michigan. He owned the Big Ten. Right. When he was in the Big Ten. But like to me, it's just it shows like he could recruit, you know, you can recruit talent. Like there's a lot of you listening to this that could probably. Like, if you could recruit, if you were or given, like, a team that was, like, that type of recruiting, what have you, you could probably coach a team that goes undefeated, right? Because it's hard to beat good talent. It happens, obviously. Michigan's been more talented than a lot of teams and still has lost. But just the fact that, also, it doesn't translate what you do in the college going to the NFL. That's kind of my point, is not just, like, the talent part, but there's more to coaching, and that just goes to show how good of a coach Jim Harbaugh is. Even though it's weirdly, it might be harder for him to win at Michigan than it was winning in the NFL. But I mean, he turned around a 49ers team that really hadn't done anything for 10 years since Steve Mariucci and Jeff Garcia and all of them. When he finally came in like 2011, it had been since 2001, 2002, 2003 that the 49ers were even like good, and they weren't like great good, right? Like that wasn't a team that was like going to win the Super Bowl, you know, the latter end of the Steve Mariucci years, that wasn't happening. And then obviously Mooch comes to the Lions. Anyhow, it's, sometimes the grass isn't always greener. And for a guy who wrote a book on, you know, leadership, lessons in leadership, had a class at Ohio State, leaving the coaching ranks so we could have a class at Ohio State teaching leadership. It's just poetic justice in a way. All right. That'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. I forgot to address at the beginning. We did not have, obviously, the Pro Football Focus show today because we are doing it on Wednesday. We have Anthony Treisch. I wanted him very specifically because he was the one who very confidently said Michigan is going to beat Wisconsin. So I want to hear his thoughts on the game and what other teams he thinks Michigan might beat, right? Well, anyway, that'll do it for us today. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Peace.